The political messaging battle is on in Wisconsin's Supreme Court race. Candidates and interest groups are spending millions on ads ahead of the April election. It's Thursday, March 9th. This is Wisconsin Today. Good morning. I'm Alex Crow. Coming up, the city of Green Bay will remove listening devices that it had installed in City Hall. And Madison may file a lawsuit against the makers of Kia and Hyundai vehicles. The city says the company made the cars too easy to steal. Stay with us.
You tune into Wisconsin Public Radio for news you can trust, conversations that draw you in, and music and entertainment that make your day better. The largest source of funding for everything you value on WPR is listener support. Join the team that makes WPR possible. Become a sustaining member. Make an ongoing monthly gift and share WPR with your entire community. It's easy to sign up at WPR.org.
The TV ad war in Wisconsin's pivotal Supreme Court contest is heating up. As Sean Johnson reports, it's already broken the national record for spending in a state Supreme Court race.
So far, the spending has been dominated by Judge Janet Protasiewicz, the candidate favored by Democrats. Her opponent, former Justice Dan Kelly, has yet to buy TV ads. But this week, Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce, a Kelly ally, made a reported $3 million ad buy. University of Wisconsin-Madison political scientist David Cannon says it's hard to say how WMC's ads might affect the race without public polling.
Although one thing that I think you can infer from that is that if they thought this was not a winnable race, they wouldn't be putting more than $3 million into it.
The old national record for spending in a state Supreme Court race was $15 million. Early numbers suggest Wisconsin's has already topped $22 million. Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio.
State lawmakers are weighing a bill that would impose a mandatory minimum sentence of 5 years in prison when a person with a felony record is found with a gun. The proposal is backed by Republicans and law enforcement groups who say it will reduce gun violence. Opponents of the bill say that mandatory minimum sentences only exacerbate inequalities in Wisconsin's criminal justice system. Representative Tom Mahalski co-authored the bill. He said at a hearing last week that it would send a message.
An individual knows they're a felon. They also need to know that we're serious about making our communities safer and that they risk years of their life in prison if they choose to carry a firearm.
State law already bars a person convicted of a felony from owning a gun, but right now, 5 years in prison is the maximum penalty. No minimum sentence currently exists. The city of Madison is moving forward with a lawsuit against Kia and Hyundai over a rash of car thefts. Sarah Lear has more.
Officials say nearly half of the vehicles stolen in Madison over a two-month period were Kias and Hyundais. That's after videos circulated on social media showing how certain models could be hotwired using a USB cable. This week, Madison's Common Council adopted a resolution authorizing a federal lawsuit against the manufacturers. As City Attorney Mike Hass explains, the resolution alleges the thefts endangered the public and cost taxpayers money.
The argument would be that the manufacturers are liable for those damages because they did not install a standard anti-theft technology device.
City plans to contract with a Seattle-based law firm to file the suit. Kia and Hyundai are offering free software upgrades to enhance security. Sarah Lear, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Declines in the number of community college students transferring into universities, which began during the COVID-19 pandemic, are continuing. A new report from the National Student Clearinghouse Research Center says upward transfers fell by more than 14% between fall of 2019 and fall of 2022. The data also shows that last fall, nearly 7,000 fewer Wisconsin students transferred between schools than in 2019. Two-year colleges have historically been seen as a stepping stone to a bachelor degree for lower-income students. Research Center Director Doug Shapiro says the trend is very concerning.
This suggests that baccalaureate degree attainment is beginning to appear increasingly out of reach for community college students.
The most recent data from the University of Wisconsin system shows transfers to state colleges and universities have fallen by around 12% since 2019. The Green Bay Common Council has voted to remove audio devices from City Hall and to destroy the recordings once the lawsuit over the issue is resolved. Joe Schultz has more.
The council also amended an ordinance giving it authority over the use of audio devices in City Hall. That power was previously held by the mayor. Jesse Brunette is the council president.
We want to use our power as a governing body to make sure that we say we have control over audio surveillance, because we can't lightly brush aside valid constitutional concerns.
Council members said they were not made aware when audio devices were added to 3 security cameras in City Hall, and signage wasn't installed until last month. Green Bay's use of audio devices has led to a lawsuit from the Wisconsin State Senate, a Republican state senator, and 2 other people. The city says the audio devices were installed in response to safety concerns. Joe Schultz, Wisconsin Public Radio.
A plan from the Environmental Protection Agency is proposing tougher pollution standards aimed at reducing smog, but some industrial groups complain the changes will be too costly. Through the Good Neighbor Plan, new industries like natural gas, steel, and paper mills would be subject to stricter air quality standards. The Wisconsin Manufacturing and Commerce Group says the state, quote, should not be punished for air emissions originating from outside of Wisconsin, end quote. But Chelsea Chandler of Clean Wisconsin says a vibrant economy and clean air don't have to be at odds.
The most important thing is that we don't point fingers and say it's somebody else's problem. We all need to take responsibility.
The EPA projects that if implemented in 2026, 1.3 million asthma cases would be avoided and 1,000 premature deaths prevented. The agency will finalize plans in March. On a lighter note, 100 years ago today, the state assembly passed a bill to establish an 8-hour workday in Wisconsin. Coming up after the break, Hope Kerwin reports on how more police departments are using therapy dogs to help people who are having mental health struggles. We'll be right back.
You know you can count on WPR for news that's important, music that makes your day better, and conversations that make you think. We hope you'll make a financial contribution to support the radio service you rely on, and in fact, we count on it. The single largest portion of our budget comes from listener support. If you're not a member yet, make a gift of any amount today at WPR.org. Thank you.
And finally, police in Wisconsin and across the country are adapting how they respond to people who are in mental or behavioral health crisis. That's especially true in schools. And as Hope Kerwin reports, a growing number of departments are turning to therapy dogs as a new tool to aid their response.
The newest rookie at the La Crosse Police Department is already patrolling the hallways of Northside Elementary School. He and his partner, Officer Ryan Ledvina, cause an immediate reaction among the students. Cheddar is a 5-month-old Labradoodle puppy who's in training to be the department's new therapy dog. He has fluffy orange-brown fur and lots of puppy energy. And during a visit to a kindergarten classroom, he is the center of attention.
Are you an officer?
I am.
Oh my God.
He's my partner.
This positive interaction is exactly what Cheddar is here to do. Unlike patrol canines, police therapy dogs aren't responsible for sniffing out drugs or taking down a fleeing suspect. Cheddar's job will be to help soothe someone who's experiencing a mental health crisis or to comfort the victim of a crime. Sean Coudron is La Crosse's chief of police.
We wanted Cheddar to be able to assist in those situations, maybe help bring a calming nature to the situation so that, you know, we as police officers could better help them.
La Crosse is one of at least 8 departments in Wisconsin that added therapy dogs within the last year, and there's science to back up the impact these dogs can have. A study published last year by researchers in England found that elementary students who interacted with a therapy dog had lower stress levels than students who didn't. Oshkosh Police Chief Dean Smith is president of the Wisconsin Chiefs of Police Association. He says many departments are looking for new ways to respond to people who are having a mental or behavioral health emergency.
We have to find different ways to solve problems within our communities, and using different tools available to us I just feel like it's a tool that's going to be more and more prevalent within agencies.
For many departments, the dogs are funded primarily through donations. Kudron says Cheddar was donated by a nearby breeder, and a local dog trainer donated obedience and therapy classes. But he thinks any added costs are a worthwhile investment. He's hoping Cheddar will serve as an ambassador for officers, especially with residents who don't feel comfortable approaching the police.
It's just another resource for us to share with our community and to break down barriers when it comes to just interacting with anyone, to understand who we are as a department. Cheddar kind of helps humanize us as officers.
Kudron acknowledged that there's been increased scrutiny of police in recent years. In La Crosse, the school district decided to scale back the number of officers in schools after finding a higher rate of juvenile arrests in the community than in similar cities. Kudron says getting Cheddar was not a direct response to the criticism, but he believes the program highlights the value officers can bring to schools and the community. In Wausau, school resource officer Nick Stetzer has been working with his dog, Badge, for almost 6 years now. Before he was a police therapy dog, Badge was Stetzer's pet. Stetzer says he put Badge through therapy training after he saw a growing number of kids taken into custody for their protection after making suicidal comments. Stetzer says it was a tough sell to his superiors in the department, but he was convinced a therapy dog could comfort students during a traumatic experience.
I don't know what it is, but talking to me with a dog is way easier than talking to me as a police officer without having the dog. Just as soon as he walks in the room, you can tell people act differently.
Stetzer says he's found that kids who are struggling can benefit from spending time with Badge before they reach a crisis point. A game of fetch with a flat coated retriever might create an opportunity for him to bring up tough questions and find out what resources a student needs. At almost 9 years old, Stetzer says Badge is getting close to the typical retirement age for police canines.
Hopefully we can make it to 10. He's slowing down a little bit, still doing really good work.
But even when Badge hangs up his leash, Stetzer says he's confident there will be support for the therapy dog program for years to come. Hope Kerwin, Wisconsin Public Radio.
And that'll do it. Thanks for joining us for Wisconsin Today. I'm your host, Alex Crow. Our producers are John Davis and Rob Menser. You can catch us wherever you get your podcasts every weekday morning, and you can always find more news anytime at WPR.org. Have a great day. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.